Welcome to the Dad Cave with my dad, Stephen Hayes.
And my dad, Mark Chester. Well, here we are again, Stephen. How are you doing?
Doing pretty well, Mark. You know, at the tail end of last year, we moved. And at the moment, I feel like as soon as one part of the family life kind of gets a little bit easier, another element comes in. And Harvey, our dog, he's not settled into the new house quite as well as I might have hoped. So one thing he keeps doing is digging into the carpet. And it's infuriating. I'm like, what is his end game?
Yeah.
I don't really know. But every time I catch him, he rolls over onto his back, shows me his belly, looks all pathetic and sorry. But he knows he's not allowed to do that. And he's almost reverted to some puppy-like traits. And it's just another facet of family life that I'm having to deal with.
Oh, he's a lovely dog, Harvey. I loved meeting him. But when I met him, we didn't have a dog. Of course, as you know, we now do have a dog, a puppy called Jenny.
Yeah.
And
how is she?
She's great. She's really good. I perhaps could do with your guidance a little bit, because obviously you've been a dog owner for a lot longer than we have.
Well, I've always had a dog, yeah.
But what? Jenny recently got an award. Okay, so
no dogs I've ever owned have ever got an award for anything.
Well, she got we take it to puppy classes and she got her bronze award.
Okay.
Which I have to say we were very nervous about in the lead up to it. The test night was very stressful because she's the worst behaved dog in the class. And
yeah, that'll be on a CV for her entire life.
Well, obviously it's very important that the dog has a certificate, because wherever you go, they're asking for the dog's credentials, aren't they, before they let her in.
I mean, get into all the best nightclubs.
The reality is it has no purpose whatsoever, does it? So why did we get so nervous about it? She's not going to apply for a job, is she? So what struck me was that, like, Care for the Family, we do lots of parenting courses, don't we?
Yeah.
We develop parenting courses and lots of people around the country use them. But what if we introduce the same idea as a puppy class? So if you're on a parenting course, you have to take your children with you, and at the end of the course, you have to do tests, be watched by the whole class and assessed by the tutor and given a pass or fail. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it, really?
It is crazy.
It's a crazy system.
Yeah, and Jenny's getting all of your time at the moment because your kids have flown the nest. What's irritating about Harvey is on the mornings where I'm up with the kids, I've got the kids to contend with, and then Harvey's just sat there staring into my soul, just looking at me, just panting. And I'm like, what do you want? He's been fed. He's been out to the toilet. I've given him affection. And it just all adds to the chaos.
So are you saying to me that even if you've had dogs for many years, you can never really work out what they're thinking?
Almost certainly. They're not thinking anything. Harvey's got a tiny little brain. And he's an idiot, but he's an idiot that I love.
Well, you can't listen to this now. Now you've called him an idiot.
Yeah. He'll be absolutely livid. Right then. So speaking of people who love dogs, we recently had our former colleague, Gerrit Bankies, in the Dad Cave. And he was talking a lot about just building connection and pouring in time into your relationship with your kid. And he's also a stepdad. So should we just jump straight into that conversation?
Yeah, let's have a listen to him. Gerrit, it's great to have you here. Welcome to the Dad Cave. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, thank you very much. South African by birth. Came over to the UK, many years ago now, 1997, on a rugby tour. Saw a pretty Welsh girl across the road and married her. Not that same day. Married her. Played a bit of rugby over in the UK. We decided to settle here, and we've lived here ever since. So over 25 years now. As a matter of fact, I just got my British citizenship a week or so ago.
Excellent.
So I is...
Gerrit, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that you didn't used to be one of our colleagues here at Care for the Family. So tell the audience, because some of them might have seen you in some of our videos, some of our content. I think you've written articles. So what are you doing now, and when did you stop caring about supporting family life in the UK?
Well, it's been a time coming. I stopped caring a long time ago. But, a huge change about 2 years ago. moved on to a completely different industry. I work for the railway now. But I still get an opportunity to support Care for the Family from time to time. I love going supporting on the backroom staff on some of the tours and things like Spring Harvest. So throughout the year, I still get to spend a bit of time with my friends from Care for the Family because I've made some really, really good friends and hope to continue that through many years to come.
Well, we hope to keep you.
Well, it's great, Herit, that you've not left us completely, that you keep coming back. We're really glad. And you're here in the Dad Cave because you're a dad. So tell us about how you became a dad.
Well, when I met Rebecca, she had a son. So my boy Joseph was 4 years old when I met him. And he is, gosh, he's out in Australia at the moment and he's 31 years old now.
Wow. So tell us about those early days when you first met him and the process of sort of getting to know him and bonding with him. How did all that work?
Yeah, when I met Beck, I just knew that this was going to be my wife. When I met Joey, right from the start, it was 100% effort. So in those early days, 4 years old, they still like to play with toys and castles and soldiers. And so I just spent hours and hours playing with Joseph, and bonding in that way, just spending time with him one-on-one. That was important to me, and I think it had a huge effect because we still have that castle and those little soldiers in a storage place, and from time to time when I see them, I just think of how many times I got beaten up because my soldiers always lost, and that was hard for a Springbok supporter to take, but they did lose. But in those early days, just spent loads of time with him, him and me in the park, kicking balls, trying to teach him to pass a rugby ball. I failed desperately with Joseph because, growing up in South Africa, rugby's in my blood, but he chose football.
Yeah. How did you take that?
Well, actually, years later, rugby is a bit of a brutal game. And he became quite a good little footballer. He's not a big guy in stature. So I think he would have struggled with the rugby. I think I would have enjoyed him in experiencing some of the rugby culture. Mm. One of my favorite rugby stories is of a guy who works with me in the train within the railway now, and he said he was fortunate enough to go out to Italy for the very first time that Wales played against Italy rugby out there in the new Six Nations, because it used to be the Five Nations. Right. He said as they got off the train, there was riot police in riot gear everywhere. And these policemen were absolutely amazed because the Welsh fans and the Italian fans were walking hand in hand and arm over over shoulder, and they were laughing. And he said the following, 2 years later, when they went back for the next game, as they got off the train, there was one policeman leaning up against a pillow with smoking a Gouloir while everyone was walking by. And as that rugby culture and of course the club thing in Wales is just huge. Mm. So I'm sorry he missed out on that. But as far as the game goes, he really enjoyed the football. He's a passionate Arsenal supporter. I'm not sure how they're doing at the moment.
They're doing very well, annoyingly. Mm,
okay.
Yeah. Okay, so can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So my eldest, Imogen, people would have heard her introing this podcast. She's 4. And so I'm thinking at this point in my journey as a father, I've kind of gone from, all these different stages, these moments of letting go. I kind of know her personality. I know how she responds to things, and there's so much built up. So how is it for you, like, coming in at, into his life at the age of 4? Like, did you, because you've gone from nothing in terms of like being a father to suddenly this 4-year-old boy is in your life and you're committed to investing in him. So was that a hard thing to like be like, right, I'm in, like, because it wasn't just Rebecca you were choosing, was it? It was, you were choosing him as well.
Absolutely. No, it wasn't hard for me at all. It was once I knew in my heart that we were going to be a family, it wasn't hard at all. I think as a matter of fact, at the age of four, there's so much development still to be made that it was quite an easy transition. And if you show someone that you care by spending time with them, by being kind with them, by loving them, I found that the bond came quite easily and quite quickly.
And same from him?
Yeah.
Amazing.
As I remember it, it is a few years ago now, but as I remember it, we never really struggled with that. We would have what we called a Joey day, where we would have a day, just him and me. No one else, just him and me, and we'd go away. And when he was little, we would do whatever he wanted. So, on this one occasion, he was a little bit older by now. He was in his teens. He just said he wanted to go up the Garth Mountain with the dogs for a walk the dogs, and it was a really foggy day. You could only see about 15, 20 yards. And we just started playing this game. Now, remember, Joseph was 11, 12 maybe years old at the time. And the dogs would go off and have a smell. And we'd run in the opposite direction, the fog, and hide behind some bushes and then see how long it takes for them to find us. And on this one occasion, because it's a little bit wet and muddy, I can remember Joseph was running ahead. And we came around a bend. And as I came around the bend, I lost my footing in the mud. And I think at one point I was horizontal in the air, but I was still running. And Joseph was looking back at this moment, and I hit the ground head first and covered in mud. And we laughed so much, the dogs had no trouble finding us. But that was 20 years ago. And Joey still talks about that Joey day. So,
oh, that's awesome.
So not just moments where we're together, but making an effort a whole day with him. As we got older, flip neck, these Joey days are becoming more and more expensive. The last time he was in the UK, we had a Joey weekend. We went down to St. Ives and the two of us learned to surf together. I mean, he's 30 years old and we're still spending this time with one another.
Yeah.
I mean, it also sounds like you put in a lot of effort into making that relationship work from the off. And that's something that any dad should be doing with their kids, isn't it? Putting in a lot of effort. But have you got any kind of tips from your experience? Anything? What would be your top tip to say, actually, this is what I would recommend people do if they're struggling bonding with their children? Do this one thing. Is there anything?
Yeah, it's time. Again, just spend time with them. And it might be difficult. It might be through the teenage years, when they don't want to talk, when they don't want to spend time with you, it might be a little bit of a challenge to get through that hour, 2 hours, or whatever the case may be. But just keep on keeping on. Eventually, that does come back to us. It's like any relationship, Mark. A friendship requires time. A marriage requires time. Any relationship, you need to make an effort to spend time together.
Jerry, can I ask you, mate? So just thinking about all this kind of time you're investing, and it sounds like you kind of enjoyed it and it kind of almost came to you quite easily, like you come into his life. Now, I think that there'll be some stepfathers out there, and also just I think there'll be a lot of dads who would honestly say, yeah, there's days where it's hard. It's I don't have the energy. There might even be some dads who find their kids to be an inconvenience at times. Yeah. Like, what would you say to any dads who struggle with that? Because you seem to kind of take it in your stride, and I'm interested to see if there's anything to draw out of.
I'm sorry if I painted that picture, because there were many, many days when I was exhausted, many days when I sent Joey to bed and I didn't read him a bedtime story. There were many of those days. Of course there were. And looking back on that, I wish I had fewer of those days where it didn't go that well. But
yeah.
I can remember from my Care for the Family days, we used to say to dads, especially with younger kids, look, there are times in our lives when we are busy. Work requires our attention. There might be a project, a task, a deadline, and we're really working hard to achieve that. There are times in our lives when we have to put the shoulder to the wheel and we have to put bread on the table, undoubtedly. But the challenge is when we allow that to become a lifestyle, when that is the norm and our family suffers as a result. So what we used to say to dads back then was, don't let a bigger house or a fancy car or a second home by the seaside or come at the expense of spending that time with our kids. So without a doubt, we are busy and the days are long and hard. But we have to make a conscious decision that an effort to spend that to make that time for the kids.
I'm conscious, Harriet, that you know, dynamics in any family can be complicated, but when you're blending families, they can get even more complicated because there's more people involved and there's perhaps sometimes a bit of tension that goes with that. And how did you find that?
When Joseph was little, we encouraged him to have a relationship with his natural father. His natural father wasn't really very interested. So on Joseph's birthdays, you know, he's 4, 5, 6 years old, we would say to him, look, we're having a little family gathering at the house. Do you want us to invite Gordon is his name? And he always said yes, because Joey was quite sharp. He realized that when Gordon came, he'd have a gift. But between birthdays, there was very, very little contact. But we encouraged him to continue, try and keep that contact. But once Joseph got a little bit older and he realized that is pretty much it, those gifts didn't matter too much anymore, which is actually quite an interesting thought, isn't it? You know, gifts versus time and effort. Mm. So once he figured that out, we say, look, we're going to have a little family get together for your birthday. Do you want us to invite Gordon? No. He's not interested in the gift anymore.
Yeah.
Doesn't have a real relationship. So quite selfishly, Mark, if I can say this, I was quite pleased that there was no other influence there. Because I've seen some of my friends where there is a blended family, where that relationship can be very, very difficult. Look, some blended families are absolutely fine. They work together. They're pulling in the same direction and that's fine. But sometimes people can be quite, well, spiteful. Mm. And the kids, they're little, they go off for the weekend with the other part of the family. And it's hard work for the first few days because they are being told all kinds of stuff and influenced. And when there isn't that harmony and parenting in the same direction. Mm. So I understand some of my friends with blended families that I've seen in the past really, really struggling. For me personally, I was... I want to say I was lucky from my selfish point of view, but considering Joseph's well-being and happiness, when Joey passed his GCSEs, he did quite well and he was in town with a bunch of friends and they were celebrating and he knew where his natural father worked. So he said to his friends, I just want to pop in and tell him how well I've done. So he went into the office, the secretary explained to her who he is. She let him in and Gordon was still on a telephone call. And as Joseph came in, Gordon motioned him to just take a seat. And when he finished his telephone call, he said, yes, hi, how can I help you? And Joey sat there and he was absolutely stunned. And he said to him, it's me, Joseph, your son. Oh, good grief, look at you. Where have you been? Why haven't you, kept contact? So the kid is what, 17, 18 years old? He's just finished his GCSEs, for goodness sake. Mm. So when he told me this story, I said to him, Joseph, you have to understand that was never your responsibility. That cannot be put back onto you. So don't you take any of the blame on this. Mm. But at that meeting, he found out that he has two half-sisters that he's never even seen in his life. And he made a decision that he did not want to have a relationship with Gordon. But I still understand that could change at any time. Mm. You know, something could happen. And Joey is such a good guy that if situations change and an opportunity comes along, I'm sure he would he would respond in a kind way, which means that there is still the possibility of a relationship in the future. Now, although I'm pretty confident of our relationship and our bond, there's still a little bang of jealousy, jealousy in there. And I could imagine that would be for most stepdads throughout their kids growing up, especially if they have a relationship with their natural fathers, that there is that jealousy. But man, it's something that we have to, that I believe that I had to really manage and put to one side, because this is not about, it's not just about me.
Mm. That's incredible honesty and very thought-provoking. One of the things that's interested me, particularly from the conversation earlier, is I'm just wondering what Joseph called you when you first met, and has that stayed the same throughout your relationship, or has it changed at all?
Yeah, that's a good question, because if I could go back in time, that's probably one thing I would change. Because I always called him mate, and he ended up calling me Gerrit or mate. And that remained so for 20 years or so. It was only in his 20s that I consciously started to make an effort to call him son. And by then it's hard. It's hard to say, you know, to call him son. And
did you say I'm going to start doing this, or did you?
No, I just started. I just call it. I just say things like, "All right, son. Speak to you later," or "Love you, son," or something of the sort.
Great.
And he started calling me dad as well. So if I could change that, I think I would have done that from a very, very early age.
So what was it like when he started calling you dad in his 20s? Can you remember the first time that happened?
No, I can't remember this first time specifically, but I still get enormous pleasure with a little WhatsApp message if he says dad in that. And one thing I've always done is, very, very few people know that he's my stepson. I would always refer to him as my son. Never refer to him as my stepson. So what I've always done when I've introduced him from an early age, I'd say, "This is my son Joseph," and he would always introduce me as his dad. So that has always been the case. But as far as calling me dad, that's a more recent thing. So it still feels a little bit funny sometimes, but I love it. Yeah.
Can you remember the moment where you realized you loved him? Like, so obviously you met Beck. Like, can you remember any exact moment?
It wasn't the same. I mean, when I met Beck, I lost my heart. You know, for Joey, I think it was a more gradual thing. But that's what time will do. That's what time will do when you spend time together.
Can I ask a question, Hedda? Did you see a big difference in your relationship with Joey compared to Beck's relationship with Joey? And do you think that was different because you were a stepdad, or just because you're a dad and she's a mum?
Two parts to your question there. The first one is, yes, there is a difference. Joseph shares very close to his mum. He will share stuff with his mum that he won't share with me. And and that's okay. I'm absolutely fine with that. A little bit jealous at times. I wish he would share everything with me, but gosh, this is his mum, and that's okay. Whether it's different because I'm a stepdad versus a dad, I'm not sure I can answer that question with any certainty. Although Beck and I did try, we didn't have any more kids, so. It's hard for me to compare being a stepdad with having natural children. But as far as Joey is concerned, I honestly don't think I could love him anymore if he was my blood. And that's down to him, because he is such a genuinely amazing, wonderful guy. It's not. Everyone loves Joey. So for me, as a dad, I'm super super proud of him and love him like crazy. I once heard a female songwriter singer during a podcast, and she was talking about step parenting. She had an interesting line. She said, "A love line is deeper than a bloodline." And I thought a lot about that. And you have so many families where there's a bloodline and relationships it's a mess. And then you have examples of families where there is no bloodline, but there's an amazing love line. So I kind of like that. A love line can be stronger than a bloodline.
Stephen, yeah. Good point to do the quickfire questions, I think maybe. So
Jerry,
brace yourself, Gerrit.
Just for anyone listening, by the way, you've probably heard our guest being called Gerrit, Jerry, Gerrit. Take your pick. I mean, how would you say it?
Well, my name is spelled with a G, G-E-R-R-I-T, yeah. And English is my second language.
Yeah.
In Afrikaans, G is pronounced as a G. So Gerrit. Back home, they would pronounce it as Gerrit.
Yeah, it's very nice, very pretty. Guttural.
Thank you very much.
So we do a quick fire round of questions. I don't give it much thought, but it's just something to...
Hey, I'm a railway worker now. You ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready, yeah. So I'm going to ask you some questions just to get to know you better. Don't give them too much thought and answer them. Okay, right, so here we go. If you died at home, would you rather get eaten by rats or a German shepherd?
I'm a dog lover.
Okay. Mm. Say no more. Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
What living president do you trust the least?
Putin.
Okay. Bell or Ariel?
Bell?
Or Ariel?
Don't understand.
All right. What's your favorite song?
Hotel California.
Okay. What's the last thing that made you cry?
World Cup victory.
South Africa.
Yes.
Yeah. Technically, Ireland beat South Africa.
Yeah.
So we're kind of like, it's like we won a little bit because no one else beat you, did they?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Well, if you wanna put Rugby World Cup 2023 in brackets behind Ireland's name, I'm happy with that.
Thank you. Steak or soup?
Steak.
What's the last film you watched?
It was just last week. Something about a moon or something. Leonardo DiCaprio and...
Oh, the new De Niro Scorsese.
De Niro, yeah.
How was it?
I haven't seen the end yet. I walked out, sorry.
Okay. It's not a great endorsement. of your dogs, which is your favourite?
Oh, I'm not supposed to have a favourite, am I?
Yeah, but probably
you've got
do.
A favourite, though, haven't you?
Yeah.
I think, go on.
Well...
So the black one.
We have five now.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And the mum with two little ones, and man, I love them, but mum is my favorite.
What's her name?
Noni. After yeah. Maho Nonu, the all black center.
Okay.
Yeah, big. Joey liked Maho Nonu.
Okay.
So she called, and this dog, yeah, okay, I love her.
Final question then. How many languages can you say thank you in?
I could, top of my head now, probably about 20, but I've collected about 40.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks. You've passed with flying colours, mate.
These quickfire questions get more random every podcast. And
you
now,
say that.
but I'm conscious now, you cannot let your dogs listen to this podcast because you will have upset four of your dogs there by naming your favourite dog.
Yeah, maybe put the one in a room with this playing and let her enjoy it. Can I ask a question as we come into land? There might be guys listening to this who perhaps are in the early stages of becoming a stepdad or even are in the early stages of a relationship and they're even like weighing up, you know, for this to work, you're taking on this family rather than just the one person.
Yeah.
So what would you, if there are any guys who are kind of like struggling or not really knowing how to play it, what would your advice be?
Yes, that is such an amazingly good question. Because, Stevie, it's hard. And I am so blessed and grateful that my journey has been relatively easy. But I have many friends with blended families, and it is hard. So this is something that you have to go into with open eyes. You have to be 100% sure that you are prepared to take this on. And the only thing I can think of is, if you have a relationship with a woman, a mum in this case, and I decide that this is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with, then everything that comes along with that, I have to accept. And I have to understand that that's going to be a difficult journey at times. But if I'm not prepared to take that journey on, if there's any doubt that I'm prepared to take that stuff on, then I think you have to be very, very careful, because I think the likelihood of that ending badly is quite high. But in my case, I was absolutely 100% convinced that Beck was the woman for me. Look, life has not been straightforward. Now, although the journey has not been straightforward, and there have been times when we've had to really, really battle for our marriage and our relationship, when I met Beck, I was convinced that that was an answer to prayer. This is the woman that I want to spend the rest of my life with. Now, if that is the case, then anything that comes with it, I'm prepared to handle. So in answer to your question, if you are, I believe, truly committed to this relationship, this marriage, then you have a chance. If you're not, then taking on all of that other stuff is going to be really hard.
Harris, what comes across loud and clear to me is just how much you love Joseph, how much he loves you. You've been a great father. You continue to be a great father, and there's still a lot of the journey to come. So as we draw to a close, just want to say thank you for being in the Dad Cave. But before we let you go, we always ask our guests in the Dad Cave to bring a dad joke. So tell us your best dad joke.
Oh. I still don't have a dad joke. I looked up some jokes earlier, and I came across one which was why is 6 afraid of 7?
I don't know. Why is 6 afraid of 7?
Because 7, 8, 9.
I think that'll do.
That will certainly
that's
do.
That's not a dad joke.
That's perfect. Harris, thank you so much for joining us. It's been great to chat with Absolutely. You. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Well, it was great to catch up with Herrett, Stephen, wasn't it? And any thoughts on what he was saying there?
One thing I was really struck by in the whole conversation was just how vulnerable he was and honest about just some of the challenges and some of the harder parts of being a stepfather. But also, I thought it was incredible, you know, that he kind of stepped into that space. He knew that by pursuing Rebecca that it was a bit of a package deal, but it's a credit to him really that he kind of went for it. He had in the way I kind of thought of it was like he's got to make up for lost time somehow, which I don't think is necessarily the case, but I'm thinking Imogen is now 4 and think of the relationship I have with her and think he entered Joseph's life at that point. So, you know, it's incredible that he just went gung-ho, spent time with him, invested in that relationship. And I think the thing he said as we were concluding that there's a love, there might not be a bloodline, but there's a love line. And actually, that's actually more critical, really. I mean, you can have blood relatives that you don't get on with, where there isn't relationship. So without that kind of love line in the relationship, the blood element's almost irrelevant to some degree. So I think it was just really helpful. And yeah, good on him for kind of for sharing with it with us all of that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, Stephen. What struck me strongly from Herrett's story was just how hard he worked to establish a relationship with Joseph right at the beginning. You know, when you're a biological father, that happens gradually. But when you become a stepfather, you're thrown together and there's a bit of a history that you've not shared. And, you know, he made a huge amount of effort to get that relationship right from the start, which I think then reaped its rewards later on. But I really admire him for doing that.
Yeah, and one thing that's incredible, really, is that he was able to invest all this time with Joseph, but also he was simultaneously building his relationship with Rebecca, because for you and Sue, or for me and Beck, we had years to establish our own relationship long before the kids came along, whereas for them in that unit, he was building two very different relationships at the same time, whilst also trying to navigate what do we look like as a family. It's an incredible thing to kind of throw themselves into that situation. And yeah, he's a top guy. And I think his stock's only gone up in my book. But hopefully he won't listen to this because his head won't fit through the door.
I love as well the simplicity of almost, he brought it down to time, didn't he? He said, it's time. You need to put in the time, and that's helpful, isn't it? That it's not, he's not saying it's particularly complex. You just need to give one another time.
Well, it was great to hear from Herrett and hear his dad joke, but I think it might be great now to hear from you two and hear your dad jokes for this episode. And Stephen, I think that Mark is ahead on points at the moment, so yeah. I think you need to make this a good one.
Okay,
you going to go first, or do you want me to go?
You go first.
Okay.
Just so I know what I'm up against.
And then you can adjust your joke accordingly, because obviously if mine's great, then you're going to have to go above that.
So. Yeah, exactly. Okay.
I'm going to go with a very classic dad joke here.
Okay.
Okay. So what did one hat say to the other?
I don't know. What did one hat say to the other?
Stay here. I'm going on ahead. Oh. How can a classic dad joke like that be given the sound of crickets?
I don't know. I actually think that was one of the stronger ones. It's so literal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I've actually, sometimes I do write my own dad jokes. Uh-oh. And make them relevant to the episode we're doing.
Uh-oh.
And that's what I've done.
Oh no. Here we go. Go on.
It's pretty good. Yeah, I think this is actually pretty good. Why couldn't Stare-Arella go to the ball?
Why couldn't Stare-Arella go to the ball?
Because of her evil stepladder.
I don't even understand that.
It's a stare. She. Oh, come on. Was it too clever? Is that what we're saying?
I don't think it was clever.
You don't. But do you think it was too clever?
By no means.
All right. Well.
And this is the voice of wisdom and reason speaking. Yeah. Lindsay doesn't think it's clever.
All right. You've got to give me some credit for at least trying to write my own dad joke, though.
Okay. I think you can get a point for creating your own joke.
All right.
But
I'll
not
take that.
For the level of humour that the joke compelled.
Okay. Right.
I think if we carry on here, people are going to be switching off in their thousands.
Oh, they'll have done that already, boy.
So maybe it's a good point to draw things to a close.
All right. I'm with that. Okay. Thanks so much for listening. And we'll see you again soon.
Bye for now.
The Dad Cave podcast was brought to you by Care for the Family. If you're a Care for the Family partner listening, thank you so much. The support we give wouldn't be possible without you. If you're listening to this and you're not a partner, but you'd like to join the thousands of people who are standing with us monthly, you can do that at cff.org.uk/donate. And as a thank you, we'll send you a pack of resources for you and your family. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.